In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Halfway home on a Tuesday, Bennett Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for being here. Looks to be a very, very lovely day. Now, it's an off day today, so mind your P's and Q's out there on Twitter. You know, there's usually a main character on an off day. Ben, just I'd recommend just keep your math to yourself today. You don't really feel like getting dragged. I mean, unless you're into it. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if the Mets lose today, the magic number goes down to 19.
19. We need to watch that game today. And you can tell us later what we need to be watching today. But the Padres will not be playing today. A much-deserved day off after just a gnarly stretch. And so, yeah, certainly not easy street the rest of the way. They got some really tough opponents, certainly, but at least they'll be well-rested when they play them and not dangling by a thread.
So do the Mets and Diamondbacks. Tough schedules.
Yeah, they got really tough
Braves,
schedules.
Braves not as tough going forward. Padres kind of in the middle. Got like the next 2 weeks are all against teams that are within a game or two of 500.
Sure.
Tigers, Mariners, Giants, all those games, all those teams are right about 500. They're certainly dangerous, but you're not playing the Dodgers every single game.
Well, the good news is, too, is you're sharpening your weapons against some really good teams as you go into this stretch run and a potential, you know, first round playoff series. So I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, who is coming up on a very, very monumental anniversary.
So yeah, at work at Channel 10, they have these TV monitors throughout the building, and they post kind of different announcements, and then they'll show like, hey, birthdays this month, and then anniversaries this month. And September hit yesterday, and they showed September hiring anniversaries. And next week will be my official 20-year anniversary at KGTV Channel 10. I was actually in the building about 22 years ago, but like full-time
official
sports anchor 20 years ago, September. I remember my first day was actually I was in Oakland covering a Chargers-Raiders game in the parking lot on my very first day of work.
And
they sent me up to Oakland.
Knowing 29-year-old Ben, you went there and you were like
28.
28. Yeah, you're not 49 yet.
Mm-mm.
Your birthday is in November. November.
Correct.
3rd.
Yes.
Yes.
So when the November screen pops up, they'll say, birthdays in November.
Right.
Ben Higgins.
But I can see a 29-year-old Ben. And again, you'd done it. You'd covered things and been to events. But when you finally were made official, Ben, here's your assignment. You're going up to Oakland. You had to have been, look at him, you had to have been so giddy.
It was Monday Night Football season opener.
Oh, my God.
In that parking, I was a little nervous, too.
Of
because
course.
You're in that parking lot with all the Raiders fans.
Yeah.
Up there. But it actually went really, really well. And it was a very exciting moment. But I can't say that I thought, okay, well, I'll be here for the next two decades.
It's crazy,
plus,
dude. Crazy.
When I took that job. So it's a momentous occasion.
That's a big one. 20 years is a long,
yeah,
long
time. Do the fine folks at Scripps have anything special planned for you? Because Let me tell you what I got about an hour ago. I got an email from Odyssey. Because I was born in the month of September, I have been given an early birthday present.
From Odyssey?
Yeah. From the big bosses. The big Adam's bosses, bosses, bosses.
What did you get?
Bonus? Little paycheck bump?
Kind of. Yeah. I got 10 Odyssey points.
Oh. Yeah, 10!
You can redeem those for not much.
Collect 1,000 of them, and you can get some Odyssey headphones that do not
pair of Odyssey socks.
There's an Odyssey backpack.
Backpack is on the Odyssey Point store.
Way, that's like 15
that's
birthdays
a lot of
worth.
That's a lot of points for the Odyssey backpack.
It's way more than that. Yeah. 15 grand, that's 150 points. You ain't getting it for 150.
I feel like in the old days, you hit 20 years, you get like a watch or you get
do they do that still?
A trip or something. I mean, not a gift card would be nice, like restaurant out, something like that. 20 years is...
$20 for 20 years.
20 years is... That's a momentous occasion. Most
20
people
years
don't,
in one spot
most
is
people
nuts.
Don't get to 20 years in the same job, right?
That's absolutely right. Especially media. Especially media. You're Tony Gwynn, dude. I'm sure those offers were rolling in from LA.
I've never worked for another television station just like Tony. 20 years in the same spot.
At Channel 10 as far as longest tenured employees? 20 years is a long time.
It's a long time, bro.
On air?
Yeah.
So it's between me and Michael Chen, who's our reporter, who actually his official hire date, like full time, was before me. So he's been here longer. He's already had his 20th. But I was technically in the building on the air first because I was filling in for 2 years before I was hired. So it's kind of the competition between the two of us. Now, Kimberly Hunt was there before either of us, but left for a while.
Yeah.
Then came back after my 20 years
that
started.
Resets.
So kind of resets the
reset
clock.
It.
But those would be your three, I would say, longest standing on-air employees. Now, behind the scenes, we've had people who have been there 30 years. 40 years, a long time at the station. So
Charisma is about to break your heart here. She says, the old car dealership company I worked for, someone reached 20 years. They gave him $20,000 with one of those big checks at the company holiday party.
That is not happening. Definitely not happening at Channel 10.
20 years on television in San Diego. Yeah, the Tony Gwynn. Now, did you get other offers from time to time? I think with TV, you have to go out and find them, honestly, unless you're like, you're like Ryan Seacrest or something that's, you know, very ambitious. You liked being here. You probably didn't have your feelers out for a time.
Yes. I wasn't really out looking.
Right.
That strenuously.
Yeah.
I mean, when my contract came up, I would like...
Yeah, you poke around.
Poke around a little bit. But no, I never actually got any other offers anymore. So.
They're like, damn it.
Oh, you could have had me for even cheaper.
Could have had you for cheaper.
Didn't know that.
20 years, man. Congratulations.
Jay to the Joe. Half day of PTO
half
coming
day of
my
PTO.
Way. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah.
Feel free to work out with your manager a day you can leave early or something like that.
I wonder if they give you something.
Kurt got a button for 5 years of service.
A button?
Button.
A button.
A
just button. Wear it?
A button. I've been here 5 years, button.
My 5-year button. 20 years.
We're getting what? How many years have we been at Odyssey? Almost over five now?
Over five.
Five and a half.
Five and a half?
It was
five
in June.
Did we get anything for our 5-year anniversary?
No, mm-hmm. I don't even think I got those 10 Odyssey points for my birthday. I need to go back and check. Mm. I don't know where
I gave
I'm at.
You some like last week.
Well, see, we give each other.
I give
each other more than 10.
Just because it was a Thursday or something.
Do you think they were planning something and now that I've talked about it, I've like ruined it and
well,
now they're not going to?
Or they go, oh God, we better pick it up a little bit here. That's the other thing. It could work in your favor.
That's true.
A pizza party presented by Roundtable for Ben at Channel 10. Yeah, man, I 20 years in media. In this town is a long, long time. Congratulations.
Technically, I'm giving myself a little golf trip at the end of next week. I'll
That's
be
true.
Off next Thursday and Friday.
That's true.
For my 20-year anniversary.
Yeah.
So
do your own.
I'm out, people.
That's true.
Missing the round table next week. I'll be there this week.
I celebrated 5 years at our old radio station. I celebrated 5 years by
you
getting
got
laid
the
off.
5 years? Oh, congratulations.
Along with everybody else because they stopped paying the bills. Got a nice big severance package
was,
and everything.
Is that like 5 years on the nose?
It was like within a month. Yeah.
A month of 5 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah, 5 years there, 5 years here.
You're missing the round table next Thursday?
Next Thursday I'll be gone, yeah.
Who's hosting?
My way Annie did it last time when
That's
I was
true.
Gone, and she did a great
Wait,
job.
Was I there?
I
wasn't
heard.
There.
Did you miss that
I
one?
I missed that one.
Everyone gave rave reviews for Annie Halbrin, so Okay. Hope she knows she's got to step in next Thursday.
Does she know that?
I don't know.
Okay.
And maybe Adam told her. Maybe not.
You should do it once.
Polly. Fine. I'll do it, but you have to be on it.
Fine.
Never mind. I just did the solo cup with the dog ass in it.
I'm already here for half of it. I'm finishing up.
That's true. Forget it. No, I don't want to do it. Adam has not spoken to her yet. All right. Well, yeah, you will be there.
I will be there this Thursday.
Looking forward to it. All right.
No, Adam, I'm not taking the broadcast equipment with me on my 20-year anniversary golf trip.
Is that what this is? Is that what you're calling?
No, it's just happened to be the same.
It's happened to be the same. Couple days. And that's the day that of your 20th?
Friday next week, I think, will be my 20th.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, congratulations to you. 20 years, certainly a long time. And I hope you get all the flowers.
What's the longest you were ever in the same job in your life? Is it this one? Or were you in one of your other jobs for longer than 5 years?
Maybe right here.
Really?
Yeah. When you're in sales, you're always kind of hunting the next best opportunity, and they come to you, like, oh, you had a good quarter there. Would you be interested in doing this for us? And so, yeah, it was a little different. Once I got into management, though, at my last company, I thought I was going to be there forever, and then radio came calling, and I ditched it immediately. And it's been certainly it's been almost 15 years. In San Diego, but
that was gutsy of you.
Very, yeah.
I mean, you're at a place where you feel like you're in management.
I was banking, man.
Radio is, you had to even know going into it, not a stable form of employment going forward.
Yeah, especially the show I was on.
Right.
Somebody asked how long did that show last? Year and a half. Year and a half. My first show here. Year and a half, and I was.
See now, Big Boss Michael says Ben and Woods will be here for 20 plus years. Put it in writing.
Throw it in writing.
We're very happy here.
Yeah,
we'll love to stay.
We'll sign it today. 20's a long time, though. That would be 14 more years.
How old would you? You'd be 64 or so?
Can't do it, man. Can't do it. Coming in here going, all right, so they're calling this kid up. He's 18. I don't know if I have it in me, but we'll try.
Pilates?
Yeah. Paulie is our 50-year-old producer. Like, forget it, dude. I want to go out on top. But anyway, we are very proud of you, Ben, and that says a lot about your character.
Thank you.
And who you are, and the fact that they would want to keep you there for that long is remarkable. And never once did they go, I wonder if we, and they may have, you don't know, I wonder if we could do a little bit better than Ben. And they said, no, the guy shows up.
Not.
Well, I mean, you know, you know how bosses are. You know how media is. They're always looking for the next big thing. But Steady Eddie, man. Steady Eddie wins the race to 20 years.
I will say, I watched a lot of college football this weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot. And most of the games were on Channel 10.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of Ben Higgins sweepers.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen them yet.
I saw a few of those, too. They were like,
I remember you told us you had filmed them, and you were like,
never
waiting to see when they aired.
They were on a lot. I saw it, too.
I don't watch a ton of live television, at least not Channel 10. Like, it's usually the Padres game, and then I'm back to the Roku or whatever. I was like watching, like, NBA Finals might have been on Channel 10. Never saw them.
No,
and then saw like five times this weekend. Coming back from commercial break.
Randomly,
like, hey.
Not even paying attention, sitting on my couch watching college football
sports
today, and I looked
Ben
up.
Higgins. Taylor pointed it out. That's Ben.
10 News sports anchor Ben Higgins covering San Diego. And I look up and I go, oh, look, I'm staring at myself on television right now.
So good.
There I am.
Attaboy. Good job.
Thank you.
Proud of you. This guy got a $1,000 bonus for his 5-year anniversary.
Wow.
So that should be 20,000.
That's a precedent you do not want to set, Odyssey.
That's 20,000 for you, Benny. I hope you get something. They do right by you. We'll take care. Well, you won't be here, but we'll take care of you maybe the day before you leave.
Thanks.
All right. Excuse me.
You're excused.
Thank you.
You belch on air more than any radio host, probably in the history of radio.
Snuck.
Wouldn't you say that?
On me, man.
I mean, I have rarely heard radio hosts. At all belch, but once does it at least 3 or 4 times a week.
Snuck up on me. Sorry about it.
All right, we'll come back. Paulie watched a lot of college football. I wouldn't mind talking a little bit about some of the games that we saw over the weekend. Was that Paulie?
You do one.
I can't.
You can't burp on
I literally, I, no, I can't.
I've never heard him burp. I can't burp on
I can't. I can't burp accidentally either.
You don't burp.
I don't burp.
At all.
I mean, occasionally, like, a silent one will come out.
Like one of those.
Yeah. I've never made a noise.
Really?
In a burp in my life.
Never.
Never once. I've had the stomach noise, but not an actual burp ever.
Yet another
weird thing about
another
them.
Brick.
I don't even know how to describe how to do it, but yeah, I can burp on command.
God, you're so lucky. Do it again. Ugh. Gah! That's talent.
On Ben and Woods. Check traffic. See if Kelly can do it on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Talking about our boss, Adam Klug. He's got to be in a pretty good mood today.
I would imagine.
Georgia Bulldogs, I mean, they were probably the most impressive team.
No, they just... Texas was pretty impressive.
They were. Yeah. But the Georgia Bulldogs dismantled Clemson.
Yeah.
14th ranked Clemson, 34-3. They had everyone questioning like Dabo Sweeney's competency as coach. And you know, remember, Clemson was really, really good for a while. And now Georgia is just so good right now. They look very poised for another national title run in Georgia. And Kirby Smart, probably now officially the number one coach in college football now that Nick Saban's gone.
Supplanted Nick Saban, I would imagine.
Yeah, so really impressive win for the Georgia Bulldogs. Really impressive win for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Maybe in terms of like road wins going into ESPN College Game Day, 100,000-plus people, Kyle Field at Texas A&M, and getting that win in a close game and then coming through in the fourth quarter like they did. Marcus Freeman's stock on the rise for the Fighting Irish.
You forget how awesome and absolutely awful it is to have a rooting interest in college football and just the standing up, screaming at the TV. The whole scene is just nuts, and what they were able to do going in there. It's such a tough place to play. I mean, you saw the 12th man is a real thing. I can't even imagine how you prepare. Oh, we played loud music at practice.
Like, piped in some crowd
noise. It's not even close, dude. It's not even close. And their defense, Benny, looks really, really, really good. And yeah, man, Marcus Freeman coming back. He's got some time under his belt. Great recruiter. Great defensive coordinator. It was an awesome win, man. And now you got to refocus. And they got some easy games, but as the Irish have proven over many, many years since I've been a fan, there are no easy games.
So you mentioned that last week, and I was just looking at their schedule. And essentially, they got nothing but easy games. I mean,
there's no such thing, though, if you're a Notre Dame fan.
Yeah.
Really not.
But,
they don't have that.
But if they can win, at Texas A&M, Northern Illinois,
yep,
Purdue, Miami of Ohio, Louisville, Stanford, Georgia Tech, I mean, they at least beat Florida State, but Florida State's horrible. Navy, Florida State, no longer. I mean, that was going to be the marquee game on their schedule, and they've looked absolutely awful.
I think USC is going to end up.
Virginia, Army. So then that's their entire season.
And then
it comes down to at USC, last game, November 30th, and USC had the other, I thought really impressive victory with, we talked about him a bit, Miller Moss, who was the Holiday Bowl star offensive MVP last year when he filled in for Caleb Williams, who decided, hey, I'm the number one pick in the draft. I don't need to play in the Holiday Bowl. And, and Miller Moss stepped up and now looks like a potential Heisman Trophy candidate himself. For the USC Trojans, we just have to wait so long for that game between those two teams.
Well, and as you know, anything can happen. I mean, Louisville beat the Irish. Louisville, you just never know.
Oh, yeah, there's landmines for sure.
Absolute landmines.
But
they'll be favored.
They could. They'll be favored in it probably every game now, at least until that USC game. And depending on how USC survives a grueling Big Ten schedule, much harder than Notre Dame's schedule coming up. Notre Dame's poised to make that 12-team college football playoff just based on basically that win on Saturday against Texas A&M.
Yeah, it was a good one, man. There's just no question about it. It was really spectacular and took a couple years off my life, I think.
There was also a local college team that had a very impressive win on Saturday night. Congratulations to the USD Toreros.
Hell of a game.
Beat a scholarship program for just the third time in school history, taking out Cal Poly 27-21 in their season opener at Torero Stadium. Very good win for Coach Brandon Moore, who, of course, had to deal with the whole hazing scandal last year. It was just a mess and a nightmare. So he's kind of going, this is actually my new first season and a good start, a restart for USD. Oh, yeah, and then there was the other.
I watched.
Local team. I did, too.
I watched a lot of it.
I was very curious to see what the offense was going to look like.
I sat and watched the first half.
For San Diego State.
Bro, this could not be going any worse for a new coach that likes to run and gun, and you can't get anything going. The quarterback, what's his name?
Danny O'Neill. Sounds like he should be playing for Notre Dame.
He really does, yeah. The first half, I watch, I go, oh, man, they're up against it, dude. And then, you know,
the problem with running a fast-paced, hurry-up offense is if you don't get a first down, you've just held the ball for
30 seconds. Yeah,
and you're punting it
defense
away.
Defense hasn't even sat down yet.
Yeah, and that's what it looked like in the first half. And when they trailed 6-3 against Texas A&M Commerce after the first half.
You're like, here we go.
It was like, hey, everyone deserves a little bit of patience as a new coach, but whoa, that was bad.
That's like you walk into the locker room and go, do I need to change everything about this game plan? Do I need to dumb this down right now?
Penalties were absurd. Undisciplined play. It was really, really ugly. But then the second half came out. And
as usual, the Aztecs defense is really what flipped that
turnovers
game.
Turnovers were big, but O'Neill completed 11 of his last 12 passes, and this running back that they got used to be with Sean Lewis at Kent State, Marquez Cooper, they've got something in this kid. Now, you may not realize that he is actually the NCAA's active leading rusher already from his three seasons at Kent State, kind of toiling in anonymity, but jumping to SDSU and getting 223 yards in your first game is going to start getting people talking about you a little bit. So, obviously, there are much tougher games on the schedule, including this week, Oregon State coming to Snapdragon Stadium. But I'll give him a passing grade for Sean Lewis in his first game as head coach of the Aztecs.
They missed the cover by half a point.
Yeah.
By the way.
After a point.
It was
over
32 and a half.
And they were down three at halftime. And they nearly covered in the second half.
I mean, holy smokes. I will be complete transparency. Yes, I took Texas A&M Commerce plus 32 and a half points. Yes!
I sent you guys the line, and I go, can San Diego State even score 33 points?
They got 45. They did.
I've watched the Aztecs the last few years. I know it's different players. I know it's different coach. I know it's different system. But I thought 32 and a half is a monster number to cover. And boy, it got down to the end. I went, oh my God, they got the ball and they're going for it, you know. And yeah, they ended up running out the clock. But holy smokes, man, that was a nice victory and a really nice second half of football. But
it was wild though, man.
6-3 at half was unreal.
I watched much more of Notre Dame and real A&M.
Yeah.
On Channel 10, I think they were. But I was flipping back and forth. You got San Diego State and A&M Commerce at Snapdragon on True TV, I think it was.
True TV.
And then I'd flip over, and you go to Kyle Field on the big ESPN ABC channel, and I go, it looks like they're playing two different sports.
It's so unbelievable.
It looks like I'm watching a JV high school football game at a nice high school field, and then you go, and there's 100,000 people or whatever. And it's noted, like, the athletes, they look like grown men. Like, it was just, it's the disparity between the top of college football, D1, and lower towards the bottom.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's pretty staggering.
You just go back and forth in watching it.
Well, I mean, dude, I was even watching Florida State's offense last night. Didn't do great, but I watched them and I go, I mean, it's more explosive and dynamic than the Irish is. You know what I mean? It's like, it's.
Bro, I was watching
every team's got its thing.
USC and LSU, neutral site, by the way, in Vegas, they sold out more than any Raiders game ever has sold out. They had more people in that game for USC LSU week one than the Super Bowl that was just in Las Vegas.
It's insanity, man.
By the way, congratulations to Woods and all the other Notre Dame fans for collecting a brand new meme this weekend of USC's Trojan mascot trying to stab his sword into the artificial turf.
I almost died. It's concrete, okay?
Well, there must have been a plan, though,
so
right?
So he gets the thing, and he goes into the concrete, and it, like, rocks him. He's like,
he knew it wasn't the turf up. But there was like the... Whatever they had placarded down for the logo. And
I
thought,
died.
They must have a plan when they're on an artificial turf stadium now, for stabbing the turf. But it didn't look like it worked, whatever it was.
I saw that and I thought, they're going to lose by 60 at this point. If that happens, holy smokes, dude. He was shaking. And it knocked him back. And then he tried to pull it out. Oh, my God. Also, by the way, when you think USC Trojan, nothing against this guy. This guy's built like I am. He's real skinny arms. He was not like some hulking Trojan. So I don't know how he won those tryouts or however they did it. Maybe they're the only guy to show up. Like, all right, you got it. It's yours
you
if you
fit
want.
The costume fits the
costume
you.
Costume fits. Yours. I was
it's yours. You're Tommy
dead.
Trojan. There you go.
I was dead. It was so good. I may retweet it again. It was that good.
All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, I want to talk more about the Padres. We didn't really get through all the games in Tampa Bay over the weekend that we missed. Manny's milestone coming up as well, getting close to it. We'll get to that. And we still haven't given away those Padres tickets. I saw someone, I think Keegan in the chat, was asking about the Padres tickets. No, we still have those to give away for tomorrow's game against the Tigers. Ooh, and the City Connect hoodie
baby.
Giveaway. And Yu Darvish's return. So stay tuned for all of that coming up with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. A lot can happen on a three-day holiday weekend. If you'll remember, when we last joined you on Friday morning, had our manager's report with Mike Schilt. It was a good conversation, by the way. One of my favorites of the year with Mike Schilt was really good. But they had just lost two in a row. And was wondering whether this stretch of games was starting to take its toll on the Padres heading into Tampa, into that dome. And how are they going to respond? Well, they responded with a great 2 out of 3 series win, starting Woods with Friday night's game. And I want to talk about that 13-5 win and Manny's pursuit of Padres history. Get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So remember, last Wednesday and Thursday, the Padres' offense scuffled in St. Louis. They went 1-for-15 with runners in scoring position. And I said Friday morning, this team looks tired. They look beat. And it was understandable given the oppressive heat and humidity and the lack of off days. So watching Friday's game with kind of a keen eye as to how they were going to respond. And
oh, yeah.
Boy, did they respond. 10 runs in the first 4 innings. Woo! And a good 7-for-13 with runners in scoring position on their way to a 13-5 win over the Rays. Like, okay, this is nice.
Watching the games in St. Louis was exhausting to cover on television. Like, watching them on television, I was exhausted. When Friday 10 a.m. hit here, I literally text my wife. I go, I made it. That was the day I got up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd slept for 45 minutes. I go, I made it. I made it. When that game started, Benny, I looked up to the heavens and I said, I need a laugher. I need an absolute laugher tonight. One way or the other. I just need a laugher. I cannot be on the edge of my seat all night long after the long-ass week we just had. And boy, did they deliver. Martin Perez did exactly what he needed to do. 4 runs, 5 innings. You know, he's a fifth
Shaky,
starter,
that
guys.
Second inning with 4 runs was not great.
Not
but
great.
Then the other four innings, he dodged around the trouble and got through 101 pitches. But, yeah, yep. What they needed, I mean, 5 innings.
They got 5 innings out of him. He's your fifth starter. Great job. I mean, the offense picked him up. The offense knew they needed to pick him up, and they did. Sean Reynolds. Schultz, who just continues to impress me, man. All five of his outs via the strikeout, just incredible. And he got sent down, and you know, hopefully he can come up. Does he have to wait? How long does he have to wait?
Depends on if there's an injury, they can bring him right back. If not, I think he has to wait 10 days or 15 days.
Yeah, 10 or 15 days. So it's a bummer, man. He's been really, really good.
But there's not really a lot of room anymore. With Yu Darvish being activated, there's even less room tomorrow.
Wandy Peralta's back as well. Yeah,
Wandy came back when they expanded the rosters on September 1st. So yeah, there's a little less room on that roster. But you mentioned the offense.
Diaz's contract.
Oh, yeah. Diaz.
Is there. And I would think he'll get a chance behind the plate at some point here fairly soon.
Yeah. Surprised he hasn't gotten back there yet already.
On Friday you had the home runs from David Peralta, Xander Bogaerts, Jurickson Profar, who, yeah, he's been in a bit of a slump, but he still got on base five times in that game with four walks and a single and scored two runs. But it was Manny who really did the thing on Friday. 3-for-5, three-run homers, 23rd of the season, four runs driven in. And that was his 161st home run with the Padres, tying Adrian Gonzalez for second in franchise history. And talked about it a little bit last week, that the all-time franchise record, Nate Colbert's 163, a record that has stood every single day of my lifetime.
It's crazy.
His last home run in 1974 with the Padres.
48 years,
and they have been 50 years. They've never had a guy who has had the longevity and power to break that record, which is the lowest total in all of Major League Baseball. But Manny seems like, I was hoping it'll happen here on this homestand. We'll see. You know, you never know when home runs are going to come, but he's just two away from tying Nate Colbert now and three away from setting a new franchise record for home runs, and one that hopefully he'll be building on for years and years to come.
What's he at, 23?
He's at 23 this season. Back of the baseball card stuff.
I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. He's getting there, creeping. Needs to go on have another great month, and I would love to see him get to 30.
Now, Saturday's game was also a laugher, unfortunately, in the other direction. Randy Vasquez was hit hard.
Yeah, it was
rough. 4 1/3 innings, and they let him wear it.
Mike
Schilt, rare for Mike Schilt, but clearly
had to do it.
He was not going to go to the high leverage arms in the bullpen. He was not going to rescue Randy Vasquez after 60 pitches. That game was punted, and it's very rare to see the Padres do that, but 11 hits, 9 earned runs, and they just had to get as much out of him as possible. The real hero on Saturday,
Alec Jacob. Straight up.
Who was started the day in El Paso at 6 a.m., had to fly through Denver to get to St. Petersburg, Florida.
Getting west, north,
back east. Arrived as the game was starting, heading down to the bullpen going, do you need me? Do you not need me? Ends up pitching a career-high 3 2/3 innings just to make sure no one else from that bullpen had to throw a pitch. Only gave up two hits and two runs. They came in his last inning. And while it was an 11-4 loss and one of the more forgettable games of the season for the San Diego Padres, it should not be ignored what Alec Jacob did in that game to rescue the San Diego Padres bullpen and not turn a loss into something that was also going to hurt them the next couple of days. And it didn't. And see what happens the next couple of days. Padres used their high leverage arms in close games to get two wins. And part of those two wins on Sunday and Monday were Alec Jacob and Randy Vasquez even eating it and wearing it on Saturday. That's what we're talking about when you manage for a 162 game season.
That's it.
Sometimes it requires an ugly loss every once in a while to set yourself up for hopefully a close wins the next couple of days. That's it. That's textbook.
That's the definition of it, man. And you give up 11 runs to the Rays and you used two pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's how you do it. And Mike Schilt knew it. Alec Jacob knew it. Everybody knew the assignment. Randy Vasquez was getting barreled. Barreled all over the yard, walking guys. It was a terrible, terrible outing and very disappointing for Randy Vasquez. But again, to go out and go 4 1/3 for him, let Alec Jacob come in, finish it off. Was that it? That's only two, yeah.
That's it.
Did Vasquez go 5 1/3?
Yuki got up for half a second, but Jacob got through it and it was done.
Yeah, you can't
beat
it.
It's crazy that day was for Jacob. Like, it's also not the worst
100%
situation.
Sitting
especially
around waiting.
Get your feet wet again in the major leagues. Like, there's no pressure.
Just
go out there and throw.
Just go out and throw strikes.
The game's essentially over.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm sure Ben Fritz or whoever, Niebla or Schilt, told him when they called him in, hey, man, just got to get through the end of this game.
Just get us there.
We're trying to just get to the end here.
Yep.
I mean, they had to have an upper limit on the number of pitches he could throw.
Right.
He had never thrown that many in his life. So at some point they were like, oh, we might have to pull him out. But he didn't. He got through it. And that was actually big for the Padres. Jake did hit that first inning home run. Thought, oh, here we go again.
Here we go. Yeah.
And then Shane Baz kind of settled in, and that was it for that game. But that really did lead to Sunday's win. 4-3 in a very tense one on Sunday. The one with the series in the balance. Close game. Jackson Merrill had that great catch in the third inning, which was fantastic, behind Dylan Cease, and then hit the two-run home run in the top of the fourth inning, off a pitcher that had been looking pretty solid. You know, that was a big moment for Jackson Merrill to deliver again for the Padres, his 21st of the season.
That game, too, Dylan Cease, you know, I sense some frustration, certainly, from him, and I sense some from the fan base. And, I mean, he really... He comes out and throws, what, 10 balls in a row at one point?
Well, his first five innings, he was fantastic.
Was
one hit, one walk,
yep.
Was terrific. And then came back out in the sixth and threw 10 straight balls, two walks, threw a strike, and then gave up a single. And the bases were loaded, and that was it. Mike Schilt came and got him.
Got him.
At that point. It had to be one of the most frustrating moments of the season, I would think, for Dylan Cease. To know you have a 3-0 lead. You are cruising.
Just lost the plot for a second.
And you just couldn't find the strike zone. Got squeezed on a couple.
Yep.
I mean, that had to be one of the most frustrating walks back to the dugout there for Dylan Cease. Jason Adam came in, and he wasn't charged with any of the runs, but he allowed all three inherited runners to score. Now, kept it from being any worse, got that double play, but hit by pitch, grounded into double play, wild pitch, and all of a sudden a game that the Padres had
felt in hand.
Is now 3-3, and you're going, oh, no.
Benny texted us. He goes, I'm nervous.
I texted you before that inning.
Yeah, before that inning. He goes, I'm a little bit nervous.
Because
that should
have been a bigger lead. It felt like, they're letting him in this one. And there they were. It's 3-3. But Jurickson Profar got the big sack fly, and the Padres were able to get that win. I mean, Xander Bogaerts had to go ahead sack fly in the ninth inning.
Eric in the chat says, it's frustrating that we punted on a game we had to have when Arizona is playing L.A. I don't know if he means punted by using Randy Vasquez, which he's in the rotation right now, you know, as we wait for guys to come back. So, or should we have... tried harder to win that game? Eric, has got to be no.
Because the Diamondbacks are playing the Dodgers doesn't make that game any more important than any of the other 161 other games of the season. Maybe in your mind you feel like, well, you know one team's going to win and one team's going to lose, but it doesn't really change the equation. You're trying to win the most out of 162 as possible.
Yes.
And you're managing, if you're Mike Schilt, to try to win as many of the 162. But to do that, sometimes it requires not winning one or two games. Now, they didn't decide going into this game.
We're
not going to win this game.
No, they tried to win it.
You know, they were hoping Randy Vasquez could give him some length and keep him in the game, and maybe
had
the offense
the
could
ball
come through.
And
it would have been a different story.
You would have seen Chasen Adam or, you know, whoever.
Yeah, and they had opportunities.
But once it wasn't, the right decision was made to let them wear it and just eat that loss.
Yeah.
I think that was absolutely the right call, and it was proven the next day when they needed their back end of the bullpen. They needed Estrada, Tanner Scott, Robert Suarez in the 7th, 8th, and 9th to keep that game scoreless when it looked like the Rays had the momentum, looked like they were about to come back and steal one. They were able to shut the door, take the lead in the 9th inning, and then win it, you know, a little bit nervous because they were 0-9. With runners in scoring position. Padres did in that game.
Yeah.
12 left on base. Did not come through even once other than a couple of sacrifice flies. And they still won that game. And it was based on the pitching that they had that they wouldn't have had if they had chased fruitlessly Saturday's game.
Yeah, and you know, as we've made the point, and Tim follows up in the chat, he burns the bullpen that game. We might not win the next two. You know, you won two very close games the next 2 days. So I'll take those, and we roll, man. You took the series in Tampa. That's what you want to do.
And congratulations to Dylan Cease on Sunday. 200 strikeouts.
Yes.
For the season. Did you guys see what happened there?
Of course.
Yeah.
I saw that.
So he strikes out to end, what, like the third inning, Luis Camposano throws it down to third. You know, the old final out, throw it down to third. And then Manny, he points at Luis, but Luis isn't looking, and Dylan does. Like, and then he's waving, like, I want that ball, I want that ball. Throws it to Manny, and then
no.
And then Manny throws it into the stands at Tropicana Field.
Cease is like waving, hey. And then Manny throws it into the crowd.
And then like the heavy Ben sigh when it
he was so into the stand. Man.
And then they got Manny. He went back out onto the field and got the ball back.
Get back
from the fans.
He's the only guy with 200 Ks right now.
Tarek Skubal.
Skubal in the NL
as well. In the NL, yeah.
Only guy in the NL with 200. Yeah, that's on Campy. That's not on Manny, I don't think.
Campy wasn't really looking.
Maybe I mean, on both of them.
Campy needs to know.
Was he like prepared? Hey, if I get two strikeouts this inning, it'll be 200. You need to save that ball.
Dylan also, I don't think, like I tell Bo, use your words. He just gave one little, hey, be demonstrative. Yo, Manny. Nothing.
That's uncool, though.
It is very uncool.
Started yelling out loud, I want the ball, I want that ball.
All right, question. Is it uncool to know you have 199 strikeouts?
I was thinking about this during the game. And while individual achievements certainly are trumped by what the team does,
sure.
I loved why it was important to Dylan Cease. And that is, he is one of the very few pitchers in the game who the last four seasons has thrown enough innings and starts to get to 200. And he knows that's what's important in baseball. And the fact that I can get to 200 means I am out there every fifth day helping my team. That's a heck of an accomplishment. Yeah. And one
no
that
doubt.
Is... He deservedly should be proud of.
So, Manny, what did Manny have to exchange?
And it's just another ball? Yes, another ball. No, if I'm the fan, I'm going, wait, I got Dylan Cease's 200 strikeout ball. You just want to give me a batting practice ball in exchange?
I need a bat. I need a Manny bat. Manny's like, great, I got to give this guy one of my sticks because of your 200th strikeout.
You threw it in the stands, though, Manny.
Yeah, but Campy threw it to me.
But he's the captain. He got it back. He did what it took to get it back, and he got it back for Dylan Cease.
He did. Dylan's face, it was like, you think that he just kicked his cat or something. He was like, oh, God. But, yeah, just kind of an uneven, you know, it was really even until it wasn't there in the sixth inning.
In the chat, horrible negotiation from the Rays fan. I get it, but when Manny Machado's looking at you and asking,
give me the ball,
give me the ball back, what are you going to do?
Like, run.
So no, good, I'm not giving it to you, Manny. That's
so
a tough spot to be in
it
as
is.
A fan.
It is.
He wants it back. He just gave it to me.
Good for Dylan for getting that. And they did get him off the hook. Didn't you know he was
well, he was never on the line for a loss. He just lost the win, which is unfortunate.
Yep.
He left the game. He was up 3-0 when he left, but put at Jason Adam in a tough spot there.
Very.
With the bases loaded and nobody out. You figure at least a couple of those guys are coming home. Unfortunately, they all three came home in that situation. But again, Padres win that day. They win yesterday. They win 3 of 4 from Friday to Monday.
It's
matching the Dodgers and gaining 2 games on the Diamondbacks to now take the lead in the National League wild card race. All right, we'll come back. Final hour of the Tuesday program. Paulie's got the Rindle Report with some NFL news, some Joey Chestnut news, and more, and the Padres ticket giveaway. All coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.